Toronto Raptors season is over, and joining us now to discuss it from TSN Sports. You hear him all the time at TSN 1050. Does a fantastic job covering the Raptors. It is our very own Josh Lewenberg. Josh, thanks for doing the show today.
We made it, cuz.
We made
it. 82 games? It felt a little longer than that.
Yeah, I know. Listen, there was nights I felt bad for you guys, you know. Javon Shepard.
We're doing just fine.
Warren Ward, you know, Tatman, everyone. But what are you going to take away from this year? Like, my jackass question was just going to be the Raptors. What was that? But how do you summarize? Like, what do you take away from this year that can carry over?
Well, I mean, I was going to say the thing that we'll remember from this season in 5-10 years from now, and then I was going to list one thing, and then I remembered, okay, well, there's probably a lot of things that are going to stand out looking back at this year, just in terms of, like, the oddities of it, the lawsuit, the betting scandal,
yeah,
the trades, obviously. But I think if we want to narrow this down to one just general thing, it's that this was the season in which Masai Ujiri, Bobby Webster, and this front office finally decided on a direction, because it seems like that was hanging over this organization's head for the past few years, basically since the championship and Kawhi leaving. And while they had a pretty strong defense of the title the year after until COVID hit, there was pretty quickly that question of what comes next. Are they good enough to continue pushing forward? And with ultimately a lot of those guys from the championship core aging or leaving, it seemed inevitable that a decision was going to have to be made. And as we know, the clock was ticking on a lot of the guys from even that next era. Obviously, there was like the Kawhis and the Lowrys and that crew, Ibaka and Gasol. But then that next generation with VanVleet and Siakam, like that was sort of the question, is how long do you stick with that group? What is the ceiling of that core? And ultimately, again, with the clock ticking and those guys heading closer and closer to free agency, this was, I think, the year where inevitably something was going to have to happen, and it ultimately did. So, yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people were clamoring for that. One way or the other, which direction are they going to go in? They pivoted towards a rebuild, and now it's just a question of how long is it going to take to come out on the other side of it, and we don't know the answer to that. It varies so drastically looking historically at teams that have gone down this path, and a lot of them have, and a lot of them currently are in the NBA. In some cases, you look at teams like an OKC, and they've kind of become the poster team for the rebuild, where when everything goes right, and shoot, it was painful there for a pretty long time also, but they made the right decisions. They obviously have a great player to build around in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and have done well in the draft to build around him, and now are the best team in the Western Conference going into the postseason. When it's done right, you can set yourself up for a long run, but when it doesn't go right, and there are a lot of examples of that around the league too, then that's sort of the cautionary tale of, oh wow, well maybe they should have stuck to what they had before tearing it down. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of the story here going into the offseason and beyond.
Very difficult question to ask you because I'm looking for something specific. So I'll ask you, and if you need, I can buy you a couple seconds. When Masai Ujiri speaks to the media, when he does his end-of-season press conference, if you could ask one question where Masai would give a 100% honest answer, what would that question be? We are joined now by Josh Lewenberg, Toronto Raptors NBA beat reporter. You can follow Josh on Twitter at JLew1050. So, Josh, if you could ask Masai Ujiri one question where you would get a fairly 100% honest answer, is there one specific one that comes to mind? I've done my best, giving you some time to think.
No. I have two. One is concerning the past, and one is concerning the future. Oh. Obviously, I'd want to know if he believes that they waited too long to pivot in this direction, because I know that's a popular opinion. That would be my personal opinion, is that the opportunity now, and it's easy to say in hindsight, but I think you could have made the argument, and I did make the argument even at the time, that the Raptors decided to stand pat at last year's trade deadline, that they were missing an opportunity to trade their players, their veteran guys, from a position of leverage, get more from them, maybe not as much as they would have liked. And I think that's probably what held them back is, well, they didn't love the offers, but the offers that were there a year and a half ago were better than the offers that were there in February, when ultimately the Raptors sold low, maybe on Ananobi, but definitely on Siakam. How does Masai view that now? And are there regrets on his part in terms of the patience and the maybe over patience of waiting as long as they did? And then the next thing, of course, is the future. And I'm just really interested going into the offseason and ultimately next year to know what the short term plan is. Rebuilds are tough, as we talked about, and they were so reluctant to go into one that I'm wondering now that they're here, how do you make the most of this situation? Is it trying to ultimately squeeze into the play-in next year or whatever it is to try and get Scotty and these young guys some high-leverage late-season reps, as it seemed like the plan was this year? Or do you go full rebuild, full tank mode, and say, okay, well, if we're here now and we're going through the growing pains, why not really take advantage of it, bottom out for a year or two, try and cash in on a high lottery pick in a good draft? And remember, this year we don't know if they have their pick, and we certainly know that this is not supposed to be the best draft. So maybe it'll take one more painful year to really stock up, find another core foundational piece to add to this Barnes, Quickly, Barrett collection. That to me is what I keep going back on, because back and forth on, because I can see the arguments in both cases. I've heard the arguments in both cases, and I could see both happening theoretically, because I know this is a front office that is competitive, that wants to win. They're patient, but how patient are they going to be with this losing process? Do they want to go through another really painful season like this? But I also know, again, that they didn't want to go down this path. Now that they're here, I wouldn't be shocked if next year is even more painful than this year was.
Oof. As we let you go, and yeah, I was thinking about it, I'll save it for the next time we chat about why I'm nervous about what the next contract will look like with Emmanuel Quickly and a lot of other stuff. But we'll end here. The regular season is done. If you could just remind the listeners, what is the statistical probability the Raptors are drafting in the top six versus the statistical probability they're sending that pick over to the San Antonio Spurs, who managed to get Victor Wembanyama?
Yeah, let's do a full 2024 draft rundown.
Jesus.
I'll work backwards, because the only thing that we know for certain is the Raptors will be drafting 31. That's the Pistons pick via the Ananobi trade. They'll also have Indiana's first-round pick from the Siakam trade. And now that the Pacers have clinched a playoff spot, that'll fall anywhere between 16 and 19, depending on who comes out of the play-in, and then potentially some tiebreaker scenarios. And then, yeah, the big one is their own pick, which is top six protected. If it lands in the top six, there's a 45.8% chance of that happening, nearly 46% chance of that happening. Then they keep their pick. If it falls out of the top six, it'll go to San Antonio. But they do have a pretty good shot, 37% of climbing into the top four, 9% of landing the top pick. Again, it's kind of tricky here, because this is not supposed to be a good draft. And if the pick doesn't go to San Antonio this year, it's owed to the Spurs next year in a much better draft, also top six protected. But there's certainly an argument here to, okay, well, maybe you want to get this over with and send
right.
the pick there now,
yeah.
understanding that it's basically a sunk cost. Oh, well, it's out of their control now anyway. It's up to the ping pong ball. So we'll find out on May 12th, the draft lottery.
Yeah, Kapertle, you better be damn good next year. Josh, as always.
If he's in Toronto next year.
That's a good point. Save that for another day. Follow
yes.
the man on Twitter at JLew1050. Josh, as always, pleasure. Thanks for doing the show today.
Thanks, Kyle. Talk soon, man.
Take care.